mine and yours. And you don't want to press your weapon to back up and withdraw. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 51. 100 years ago, people wanted to talk to you, Aang grumbled, walking away from the weapons shop with Sokka trudging wistfully behind. They'd split up from the girls to cover more ground talking to people. He was beginning to think that might have been a mistake. A few snickers from Katara would have snapped Sokka out of playing with every weapon in the place. For hours. The owner hadn't been any help either. Even when it was obvious Sokka couldn't afford to buy that sword like Timul's, he just smiled and given Sokka tips on grip and swing, matter of fact as Gyatso talking about the best way to throw a cake at somebody. Which was one of the things Aang didn't like remembering about Kuzan. Most of the time his friend had been fun, if a lot more quiet than anybody should have been. But waves sharp steel around, Kuzan's eyes would just light up. Like weapons were fun. Sokka's eyes had lit up like that, just for a minute, and made Aang feel kind of queasy. He just wanted to talk, Sokka said, finally looking away from the shop. Just not about Timul. Can't say I'm surprised. Because Fire Lord Zozan was their great hero. Aang rolled his eyes. Why couldn't these people ever tell the truth? That's part of it, Sokka thought out loud. But mostly, well, she's a ghost. And most people can't fight spirits. Yeah, I get it. That was the Avatar's duty. Again? Did Sokka have to keep making him feel guilty about getting frozen for 100 years? He hadn't meant to land in the ocean. No, Aang. Sokka closed his eyes for a second and shook his head. Didn't Gyatso ever tell you to keep an eye out for your family? He cut himself off, glancing to make sure no one was in earshot. Right, no family. Come on, we need to talk. What does family have to do with ghosts? Curious, Aang followed him into the shadows inside an ostrich horse stable, giving a scritch behind the beak to one blood bay that tried to nibble his headband. Okay. Sokka said, keeping his voice low. I don't know how it works here, but Gran-Gran always said ghosts were different than spirits. Spirits are Avatar stuff. Ghosts used to be people, only after they died, they stuck around. Because they can have a lot of reasons. The scary ones want someone dead. Lucky for everybody, there's not a lot of those around. The rest of them try to look out for their family. Maybe they show up in a dream to tell you a name that'll keep a new baby safe. Maybe they just show up in front of you so you jump back and you don't step on an ice snake. That kind of thing. Spooky. Nomad, Aang pointed out, cheered up. If we don't have families, I bet our ghosts don't either. And we don't want people dead, so I guess we wouldn't have ghosts. Sokka frowned. Kinda not the point. Right, Timul was a firebender. Had been a firebender. A spooky firebender. But if spooky was tied to family, maybe it made sense. You mean people won't talk because they think a ghost would be trying to help them? Aang chewed on that. I guess she was, if things were supposed to burn. They could still smell the smoke now. It had made Appa all twitchy this morning. Hang in there, buddy. We'll be back soon. Aang, Sokka looked dead serious. We're not Timul's family. But we were there to help, Aang pointed out. That's enough. Not according to Gran-Gran. Your dad says Gran-Gran doesn't know everything. Aang blew out a breath of relief. Now he knew what Sokka was worried about. Come on, Sokka. If she wanted revenge on somebody, why would she show up to help us? I don't know, Sokka admitted. That's what bothers me. Aang grinned at him. You worry too much. Maybe, Sokka shrugged. Dad would be worried if he were here. He's not, so I've got to do it. Oh, hi. Stable boards rattled and creaked, without feet walking on them. At least, no feet they could see. Ostrich horses snorted, backing away from stall doors. Aang drew in a breath. Boards creaked quickly, like something scurrying out. Aang let air sigh out, not bending. Why does Toph like that thing? Why do pirates like reptile birds? Sokka stuck his head out the stable door. Hey guys, I thought we were meeting up outside town. We need to head toward the other side of town. Katara stepped out of the sunlight. I think we found something. You think this is the right place? Aang whispered in the darkness. Sure, he was getting better at earthbending, but being shut in one of Toph's tunnels away from the wind, it was kind of spooky. And Boots' tiptoe steps behind them didn't make it any less spooky. He wasn't going to do anything to Boots, though. Not as long as it just stayed tiptoeing. Toph had been muttering about burying him up to his chin so he could practice bending with his face, Boomy style. It was way, way better to let Boots distract her from plans like that. It's the only place around here that seems to have guards, Katara said seriously. I don't know if it has anything to do with Timul, but it has to be important. Spooked guards, Toph muttered. You getting any, I don't know, Avatar stuff feelings? Yeah, right. Aang put a hand on the dirt to check where it was before he bent it. Tao had told him a lot about clearing his mind and letting the earth talk to him, and none of that had done any good. Something tingled under his fingertips. Pain, grief, sad, like the gray rains before winter, and yet, hot, get back! Seriously? Moving confidently through utter darkness, Toph pressed her hand where his had been. Feels like earth to me. It was hot, Aang objected. Burning hot. But his hand didn't feel burned, just achy. We must be in the right place. Katara's dress rustled. The fishmonger told us, before she looked around and acted like it didn't matter. The burned ground at sunset. The guards are all out of sight. Raising her hands above her head, Toph lifted. Hair! Aang scrambled out into the fading afternoon in pure relief. How could anybody like living underground? Black. Black everywhere. No! He had to bite down on the urge to yell it, so loud the Fire Lord himself would hear. Everything was black. Dead. All dead. Dead! How could anybody do this? The earth burned. Toph was pale, feeling with her toes like she'd stepped into a swamp full of leeches. It's all burned, she swallowed. It doesn't feel good. It hurts, Aang shuddered. Maybe we should just go. Katara? She was on her knees in the ashes. Water wrapped around her hands. I want to help, Katara said softly, to know when he could see. If anyone's got a problem with that, let me know. You're going to try to heal the ground? Sokka said in disbelief. We helped heal a river. Why not? Frowning in concentration, Katara moved her hands, a gentle inch at a time. Something twinged. Not a bad twinge, Aang thought, as black seemed to soften just a little. Just weird. Shaking his head, Sokka walked a few steps away, tracing the edge of dead black with his gaze. Look at that. It's like somebody cut this whole clearing out with a burning knife. What happened here? Not a knife. Toph moved a little closer to Sokka, still walking like she wished she couldn't touch the ground. It's like kind of a bowl pulled out sideways. She made a scooping motion with her hand. Right by the edge, it's shallow. Over there? She pointed towards the darkest spot of ground. It's deep. Really deep. Katara looked up. Maybe I should... No! Aang wasn't sure why he said it. That spot just felt wrong. Stay here. I think it's helping. Almost sunset, anyway. Sokka said thoughtfully. Funny, the way people didn't want to talk about this, I was sure we'd see something... The world faded. Eep? Grass waved around their feet, oddly chill. Silent ranks of red armor ringed them in the mist, bare faces just as grim as skull masks. Sokka grabbed for Boomerang, but there were just too many. Don't move, Aang hissed. Hand clamped on the wrapped grip, Sokka froze. Aang? They look like they're breathing. They're not. Aang tried not to gulp. Just get over here. I don't think they see you. He scanned the armored ranks as Sokka tiptoed over. I don't think they see us at all. They're standing right there, Katara whispered. Aang shook his head, trying to figure it out. They don't feel like spirits, not even like Timul, more like ghosts of ghosts. Oh, yeah, Sokka breathed. Makes perfect sense. Timul of Shujing. Ornate red robes, a golden flame in a white topknot, gleaming in the sunset. An expression Aang knew, somehow, even though he'd never seen the old man in his life. I offer you one last chance to yield. Admit you're wrong and save your life. Fire Lord Sozin. The voice was familiar, yet off, as an ancient firebender stepped onto the gray grass that had been blackened dirt. I will not, you malevolent creature. Timul! Katara stood up straight, water whipping into her hand, ready to lash out. Aang, we've got to do something. It's not her. Aang hadn't been sure until he said it, but he was sure now. It's not, Katara. And that's not the Fire Lord. I think this is what Tao called a phantom. Stubborn old witch! Steam blew from Sozin's breath. My men tracked them here. They were carried west on your ship. You dare not deny it. I do not deny it. I'll snarl it to the skies, Timul flung in his face. They're gone, you paranoid monster. Gone and ever beyond your reach. She snarled low in her throat, gold eyes blazing. Make yourself a monster, and it's your own hell to burn in. You will not make monsters of my clan. Tell me where they are. Flames flickered around elegant hands. Or all your clan will die. Women and children, Timul snarled. Helpless women and children. You'd hunt down and slaughter. Those nuns couldn't hurt a flutter wasp, even to save their own children. Especially to save their children. Their elders saw to that. What? Women and children. Sozin's smile was thin and cold as armored ranks parted to reveal pale faces above dark chains. All that's left of your clan, is it not? Pale gold narrowed. Submit. The phantom's gaze swept those weeping and grimly silent. Be brave, she breathed. Looked up. Aang jammed himself back against Sokka's shoulder, grabbing blind for Katara's hand. That stare, that horrible, heart-thumping, breath-stealing stare. I will never yield to you. Timul lifted her hands in a graceful arc, open and patient as the sea. Save your threats and fight. Fire roared. Aang couldn't breathe. Or he was breathing too fast. He wasn't sure. He could feel Sokka's arm warm against his shoulder. Katara's fingers tight and sweaty on his. Toph behind them all with her toes dug into the ground. He'd seen firebenders attack. Zuko and Zhao and Azula. Even Zhongzhong hadn't thrown fire like this. Sozin stabbed like a spear of sun, striking with punches and kicks of blazing fire. Timul melted back and sideways, twisting his flames aside, curling them back on the Fire Lord like ruby whips. Suki, Sokka breathed. She fights like Suki. Like Katara, Aang thought, not wanting to say it. Never wanting to say it. Fire should blast and burn. It shouldn't flow like water, cling and sear like lava. Watching this, he could finally believe the stories he'd heard of Master Paku's battle against the firebenders, sinking tanks into ice with a push of his hand, riding a water spout to ravage Fire Nation soldiers. Because maybe Sozin was old, but Timul was ancient. But the flames hissed and crackled for them longer than any bender he'd ever seen. A sweeping kick and Timul was down. Sozin crouched beside her, dagger of flame above her heart. I will find them, he stated, cool as if he'd asked her to tea. And the Avatar. Young fool, blistered red. Timul's lip curled. Finish what you've started. Oh, I intend to. Sozin's smile could have cut steel. For those who defy me, Xu Jing will be an excellent example. He raised his voice without looking over his shoulder. Start with the youngest. No! Fire cut short her cry, left her gasping in the ashes, black seared through flesh and lung and bone. Firebending comes from the breath. Sozin had Azula's smile. No breath, no fire. Turning on his heel, he stalked towards chained children. Breathless, Timul's lips still moved. You will not, Aang felt in his lungs, in his bones, a spark all the way down to his spirit. I am Timul of Xu Jing. I am the blood of dragons. Charred and blistered, one hand moved to white hair, flipped out gleaming steel. Fire is life. Steel sank deep into her own flesh, crimson welling over ashes. Agni, spare my children. Yanking everything from Katara's water skin, Aang swept ice over them. The world burned. Oh. Sokka blinked, winced, and squeezed his eyes shut against the stabbing light of dawn. Aang's school uniform was bunched under his right hand. Katara's bony shoulders were under him and Aang. Toph was a small, light weight against his left arm. And everyone was breathing. Thank goodness. Wait. There was something on top of them. Felt kind of like a blanket? Hand-like paws thumped down weight on the back of his head, patting him. Momo chirped. No, Momo, Sokka muttered. Go back to Appa. He's gotta be worried. He's not the only one. Older. A guy, definitely. Worried, but with the kind of laugh Dad had up against icebergs. Sokka blinked again, pain or no pain. Here, water should help. Dark hair and beard, with just a little gray. Gray eyes. And wasn't that weird to see on a Fire Nation guy. Robe and trousers, all red and black and gold. And a sword. Like Timul's sword, only at his side, not over his shoulder. Sokka gulped water and swallowed, touched the blanket over them, and tried to blink away the headache. Thanks? I couldn't risk moving you at night. The swordsman gave him a hand up to unsteady feet. The curse had already struck you down, but left you alive. I didn't want to give it an excuse to think twice.
Curse?
Sokka squeaked.
But it's dawn now. Nothing more should happen, the swordsman went on. We should go before anyone else notices you. The guard gets a bit touchy about intruders in the area.
A flash of a smile.
They're supposed to prevent that. Cuts down on the horrible, agonizing deaths.
Deaths?
Sokka gulped, looking down to check everybody was still breathing. The ground's not burnt. Oh, it was still pretty black, everywhere they'd been lying. But there was a difference between black and dead, and they'd apparently been smack in the middle of it. Though there was red on one of Aang's hands, and some of Katara's hair was singed at the edges. The fire, it was a phantom, he said. It wasn't real.
Real can be more flexible than most people know. The swordsman bent to gather up Aang. Come on, let's get away from any annoying reports.
Reports, as in official notice that people with their descriptions were in the area. Yeah, that fit nicely into bad idea territory. Grunting as he picked up Katara, Sokka followed. Hang on, Toph, I'll be back. It wasn't just Zuko, Sokka decided a little later, as he helped load groaning kids into the back of a farmer's cart. Komodo rhinos were just born cranky.
Thanks, Jinsuke,
the swordsman said, walking alongside as the gray-haired farmer clicked his animal to a walk.
No offense, Lord Piandao, but thank me by getting shut off that Beto-Beto.
Jinsuke grumbled.
That's a horrible thing to wake up to, that is.
Something stomped the ground, kicking up dust as Sokka gaped. Lord Piandao? Boots found you? A happy rattle.
Interesting allies you have.
Piandao rifled through a familiar sheaf of papers.
But I suppose someone so young, on Vendetta, needs all the friendly help she can find.
He smiled.
I'd heard legends of friendly Beto-Beto before, but this is the first one I've met.
Squeaks of leather, almost lost in the crack of wheels.
Humph, Jinsuke snorted. Still like to turn a man's bones to water. Vendetta, is it? Where's your parents, boy?
Dead in the war? Sokka said shortly.
And Mom...
His knuckles whitened. He let go of the side of the cart before wood could break.
Gran-Gran, the village needs her. There isn't anybody else.
Spirits, so true, in more ways than one. Can we have those back now? Piandao handed them over, looking over wincing children and one suspicious lemur.
Breakfast should help. And tea.
He shook his head.
Very strong tea.
For a curse? Sokka muttered.
For the headache. Piandao smirked a little. We'll have to see about the curse.
Well, young prince, you've given me an interesting problem.
Piandao sipped his tea as the Avatar's little band of innocents dug into breakfast. Truly innocent, despite the deadly havoc they'd wreaked across the world. Only someone who'd never been tangled in politics and espionage would have kept both sets of Vendetta papers together, much less kept the prince's letter with them. A very interesting letter, full of all sorts of thorny implications. Toph Bei Fong has the prince's trust. You didn't use even an honorable opponent's letter as cover, unless you trusted that they would understand the need for deception. So the Avatar's earthbending teacher had the trust of the Southern Water Tribe and Prince Zuko. That had potential, if the girl was any kind of diplomat. Or even if she weren't. Put two enemies in a room with a third person neither wanted to insult, and they might at least talk to each other. Prince Zuko is no longer loyal to the Fire Lord. Something the White Lotus had been scheming toward for years, ever since Zuko had been banished. Over the past centuries, the Fire Nation had tested Kyoshi's decree and their own souls to destruction. There were very few loopholes. Citizens of the Fire Nation were subject to the Fire Lord's will, and all the spirits of vengeance for defying it. But a banished prince was not a citizen. He was only what he was, a firebender born of royal blood, subject to execution if he ever entered Fire Nation waters again. Kyoshi's decree could no more hold him than it could an Arctic eel. Prince Zuko does not trust the Avatar. Much more problematic, and a situation the White Lotus had never counted on. Of course, Kyoshi's actions had left the Fire Nation suspicious of Avatars, but Roku had not been disliked outside of Sozin's court, and the White Lotus had been certain that any royal heir without such a personal grudge could be brought around to friendship, especially once they'd found out who the Avatar was. Aang was apparently friendly, honest, open. Unfortunately, from Zuko's letter, he was all that and a walking disaster area.
I wish I could chalk that up to learned pessimism,
Piandao thought, staring into his tea. If anyone's earned the right to be cynical, that young man has. But given the reports he had of Princess Azula and of the Avatar, Agni, what a mess. No help for it. White Lotus plans to encourage the Avatar and the Prince to form an alliance would have to be amended. Hopefully, General Iroh was working on that. Putting Prince Zuko and Katara in close contact at any time, under any circumstances, is likely to end badly. Frost and fire, but that was the snarliest polite letter Piandao had ever had the misfortune to read since the last time he'd intercepted a copy of Shidan's letter to War Minister Qin, which, when you read between the lines, had told the War Minister that if he thought Byakko was holding back resources from the war, he was free to come and look for them. Of course, the seas around Byakko were very rough, and there were creatures in the open ocean even a warship would want to avoid. No fool, Qin had never accepted that invitation. That the prince had resorted to that intensity of written venom? The girl was an enemy. Then, now, and probably forever. Which made Zuko's gift of a lawful vendetta very disconcerting. Admit it, old soldier, Piandao told himself, watching the quiet scuffle between Sokka and Toph over tea sweets. You should have known better than to believe any reports on Ozai's son at face value. And there was the sticking point. He'd dealt with Paku enough times to have a fair idea how strongly the Water Tribes felt about revenge. And he'd studied enough White Lotus records to sift some of the bias out of Temul's occasional ghostly rants. The Air Nomads had valued a peaceful solution to every problem, even if such problems might strike other nations as completely unjust. He knew what Zuko's gift would have done. Stabbed the Avatar's bond with his friend, through the heart. He knew it, and so had Zuko. The skill that had crafted that letter wasn't as much of a surprise as it should have been. Temul had been there when he'd pulled a half-drowned 6-year-old princeling from a river, muttering ghostly imprecations about what good was it to be an old soul if you couldn't remember how not to die. He'd asked her about that many times. She would only smirk and had told him then not to bother teaching the prince the sword. Anyone out of Shidan's line would never be satisfied with only one blade. So the fact that Zuko could launch such a deadly attack didn't surprise him. 16 or not, no matter what Azulon and Ozai's opinion on the young prince, Zuko was as much a child of Sozin as Lu Ten had been. No one in that family was stupid. That Zuko had attacked the bond between the Avatar and his teachers, that was worrisome. We need to restore balance to the world. We need the Avatar and his teachers alive and sane. The prince claimed he'd broken loyalty to Ozai, yet he'd struck in a way that could only further the Fire Lord's interests. Why? Worry about that later. For now, I need to fix the damage. Somehow. So, Sokka let go of some of the sweets to pry Toph loose. You said something about a curse? Aang gulped.
Most of Xu Jing knows enough to avoid it. Piandao deliberately did not smile.
Avatar or not, what they'd done was dangerous. They needed to know that before they stumbled into something worse. Some places there wouldn't be a friendly ghost to warn them off. Unless she didn't warn them. Possible. Very possible. He hated to think that about an ally, and Temul was his ally, as she had been Kuzan's. But Kuzan had never been one of the White Lotus. Rage and revenge bound Temul to this world, and one of the spirits she'd vowed vengeance on now blinked at him from gray eyes. He didn't think Temul would have enticed them into the curse, but not warn them? All too possible. We're from the colonies. Katara tried to look shy. We didn't know.
So your vendetta says, Gaipon, we have relatives there.
Not that he officially knew where the remnants of Temul's clan had fled, but practically, yes, some had been there. Whether they were still there now, after reports placed the prince's motley fleet at the scene, who knew?
Generally speaking, if there are armed guards around an area, it's a good idea to stay out. People have burned to death before.
But it was a phantom, Aang objected.
It was, Piandao acknowledged. It was also Timul's last stand, where she called down Agni's wrath like a dragon child of legend. When the wind and sky are right, when memory stirs in burned earth, that fury rages yet again.
He gentled his voice.
I've seen it myself. Luckily, only from the edges. I was able to dive clear without more than a burned robe. You were inside. I can guess you have questions.
There's innocence, and then there's stupidity. Which is your burden?
It wasn't like what they taught you about Fire Lord Sozin in school?
No. Aang swallowed. He burned through her chest. He left her on the ground. He was going to torture people in front of her while she died.
He was provoked, Piandao said dryly. Some legends call Sozin a dragon child as well. They tend to get vicious under stress. He gave Aang a measuring look. If you saw that much, then you know how she defied him.
She saved people. Katara sat up straight. Defiant. And he killed her for it.
As was his right in an Agni Kai, Piandao stated.
If you don't know that much, it's a wonder you haven't been caught.
As she would have had the right to kill him if she'd won, even against the rightful Fire Lord. He shrugged. Torturing her clan after she'd fallen? No, not even the Fire Lord has that right. I suspect that's why Agni answered her plea. Even when those she'd risked her life and clan to defend were none of our people.
The waterbender fumed. It shouldn't matter what people she saved. Sokka jabbed Katara with an elbow. Why'd she do it? The water tribe boy wondered. Why'd she save airbenders? They attacked the Fire Nation, right?
You pass as one of us much better than your friends do, Piandao thought. Interesting. That's what your teachers told you. But if your vendetta led you here, you need to know the truth. There was no attack, and no air nomad army.
He didn't let his gaze linger on Aang.
There hasn't been an air nomad army for a very long time.
The Avatar bit his lip. The Fire Lord lied.
He did, Piandao agreed. No one expected it. He was rumored to be a dragon child, and dragons never lie.
He sighed.
Almost never. Dark dragons can, they say, but no one realized Sozin was one. Until too late.
Toph puffed away her bangs. Temul knew.
Not soon enough to save herself, Piandao corrected her. Though I wonder if she would have tried. She was old. So much older than any of us. I doubt she would have wanted to live in the world Sozin made.
He smiled ruefully.
She almost caught him, and he had to spend so much time pacifying Xu Jing, the airbenders were long gone. Even her clan managed to get away. No one still alive was about to swear loyalty. Not after what he did to Temul.
Sokka squinted at him in consideration. But you're here.
I'm adopted.
Piandao had to chuckle, remembering that hair-raising night after he'd forcefully impressed on the military that he was retired and staying that way.
A word of warning, young man. Never let yourself become help in a domain where a ghost wants someone to take care of her people.
He still remembered that midnight, waking to Temul's considering gaze.
My kin are scattered. My domain is unguarded. Byakko sends aid, but they are not Kuzan. You need a home, and Xu Jing needs a great name.
He'd been a lone wanderer, a threadbare swordsman, perfecting his art no matter what nation he had to learn from. An orphan, abandoned by firebenders, ashamed to know one of their offspring was powerless. At dawn, all that changed.
You were adopted by a ghost?
Toph looked a little rattled. I've heard of people setting up marriages between ghosts.
You have?
Katara looked aghast. Contracts, the little earthbender shrugged. Sometimes it gets families to stop fighting.
In the Earth Kingdom.
Temul's chill touched the room as she misted into the world behind the children.
Remember where you are.
She's here, in broad daylight.
Where's the danger? Piandao demanded. Sitting in front of you, Lord of Xu Jing.
Blue flickered around her. Not quite flames. Not yet.
Your compassion saved your lives, little healer. But you won't always be there to save him.
Soundless steps circled the little band, and Temul leveled a look at Aang that made Piandao's heart freeze.
You have a very great deal to answer for, Kuzan.
Oh, the swordsman winced as the Avatar gave a nervous laugh. This is going to end badly.
Ha ha, how do you know my name?
Aang said brightly. When we met the other night, well, we were careful, Katara said firmly. We didn't know you.
You still don't.
Temul was smoke and mist and chill, focused on her prey.
That name is not yours to use.
He's dead, Temul,
Piandao said forcefully.
I doubt he'd mind.
For a moment, her gaze could have frozen lava.
He's not? We saw him die!
I mind.
Temul fixed her attention back on the youngsters.
Byakko was never a near ally, but they were constant, and their dragons were often kin of ours. So when a young boy, not even third in line as heir, came to me with a wild tale of what the Fire Lord meant to do, a dark smile. Perhaps I should show you.
Temul stepped around one of the many gaping holes in the Western Air Temple's floor, glaring at the green below with the same fury she wished to turn on Sozin. Eldest sister, if you would only listen to me. The ancient nun held up a long hand, waving her words away.
Temul of Xu Jing, manslayer. We know of you and your actions toward airbenders.
Most of which boil down to, get your idiot, wind-raising, crop-munching, marauding children and their bison the blazes out of my domain before I light you on fire. A few times she had killed, true enough. But what did protecting her domain have to do with warning of an oncoming catastrophe?
Ah, yes. The life of one man outweighs the world. The nuns would say.
Damn windy nonsense.
Since we assume you would not have visited us if your intentions were evil,
the nun glared meaningfully toward one of the many sheer drops, a puff of wind rising with a twitch of her fingers.
We will repay your good intent by not recounting such slanderous words to your rightful monarch.
Might as well shout into a hurricane. The Fire Lord is coming to kill you, Temul enunciated, My own people believe you let the storms come without warning, so we might die. They're angry. They're not thinking straight. At least consider what you'll do if someone attacks. This place isn't defensible.
We do not all need violence to be at peace.
The white-haired nun, who couldn't have been half her age, glanced at the sword over her shoulder with a lip curled in distaste.
No one can harm us here.
Because everyone's always ridden Sky Bison to reach this place? Temmel snorted. I can think of at least three ways to... Enough! Snarling under her breath, Temmel held onto her temper with both hands. She was a great name, ruler of more fire than this nun would have seen in a lifetime. No one insulted her like this. If the boy and Shidan hadn't been so utterly convinced of their warning.
There is no will to harm here, save what you bring with you, the nun said icily. You may take your leave at any time.
Which had better be soon, hung in the air between them.
Well, old ally,
Temul inclined her head, a shred of courtesy.
Good luck. You're going to need it.
An old woman could stomp dramatically away. It just took practice. And careful glances for those damn holes in the floor.
Can't get a ride down to the harbor. Not yet. I'd maim somebody.
She roamed the quieter corners of the temple complex like a red shadow, avoiding stray nuns with practiced ease. What she needed was a quiet spot to slice steel through air, not flesh willingly deaf and blind.
Idiots, idiots, idiots!
Steel whispering through air. Softening her steps, she followed the beckoning call.
Interesting.
This was one of the forgotten sections of the temple. Dust lingered on flagstones before bending into what might have been a wild garden, and vines growing from balcony to ceiling screened the clearing from any casual flyers. On the edge of stone and earth, a swordsman danced. Her blood seemed to freeze, so light, so impossibly fast, as if the small man raced the wind with each strike. On Mitsu! And yet, no red and dusty brown robes, no flashing fingers that would disable, stun, or kill, no bodies. Though there was a young nun, hand covering her mouth, gray eyes wide with fear. Not of him, of me. A whirl of the nun's arms, the gust nearly blew Temul off her feet. The young woman moved in like a phoenix eagle with one chick, wind whipping black hair.
She run!
Peace, Temul got out against the gale. Peace, young one, I bring no fight here.
He's not going back.
The nun whipped her air staff into a credible guard, eyes glinting like she could already see herself beating Temul over the head.
You tell the Fire Lord. I'm not here for the Fire Lord.
Temul cut across her words. If he knew what word I brought, the assassins would be on me already. She braced herself against the dying wind. But you'd know about that, wouldn't you, she? Or, should I say, demon of Taku? Gold eyes were half hidden by black bangs.
You are not giving Gyate reason not to fear you, Lady of Shucheng. That you are not.
A faint smile shadowed his face.
It is all right, Gyate. If Temul meant us harm, there would be a host of Onmitsu with her. And Annette.
Fat lot of good that'd do.
Temul brushed off dust, studying him just as he was studying her. The invasion of Taku had been over 30 years ago. The man before her had to be in his 50s, at least. Yet he moved, fluid as a teenager, and there wasn't a strand of gray and jet black.
A chi user, and the Onmitsu let him go?
Well, she doubted they'd let him do anything. The demon swords resting in front of Sozin's throne had been salt in the smarting wound of Roku's casual rout of the Fire Army. If there was any one man Fire Lord Sozin had hated in the world as much as Roku... Temul blinked, Gyate's fear and fury suddenly making sense. The eldest sister doesn't know you're here, does she?
Yate blanched. Timul hid a grin as she interposed himself between the young lady and her gaze.
Oh-ho, so it's that way, is it?
Amazing. Certainly she'd had to deal with the consequences of wandering air nomad boys before. Usually just youngsters with broken hearts. But sometimes, well, more serious. But air nomad girls? Never.
I won't say anything. You have my word.
Twin breaths of relief. Timul watched them sigh together and felt a twinge of regret for her late husbands. She'd stopped marrying after the third. It was too heartbreaking when they couldn't master bending enough to last.
But you have to know how dangerous this is, she said, trying to be gentle. If your children aren't benders...
He was. Gyate's face crumpled, gray, wet with tears. And now she is, and it's only a few more months until she's old enough, and... She drew her closer, face grim with sorrow. I am here. I swear I will be here. A nun? Grieving her children? Unheard of. As out of place as an ex-assassin in a temple. Oh, Agni, this is my chance.
Here is exactly where you'd better not be, Timul said swiftly. My ship is in the harbor. Take the children out to see it. All of them. And any of the young nuns you can talk into keeping you company. Go!
Take the children? Gyate drew back, gripping her air staff with white-knuckled fingers. Go against the elders?
Who will, no doubt, be in pursuit by air, she said practically. Even with a week's lead, they would find us.
The elders don't have a week. Timul would not reach for her blade, but oh, she wanted to.
The rumors are true. The eldest sister won't believe it. Frost shatter it. I don't want to believe it. But the comet is coming. Sozin means to use it. She scorched Gyate with a glance. Everyone still here will burn.
No. Gyate paled. You're telling the truth. How could you be...
White brows rose as Timul looked over her yet again. Not quite as young as she looked. That shaven forehead still had no tattoos. You are not a master. So how do you know I speak the truth?
I know. Her fingers wove into she's. Not with everyone, but with people who train with swords.
She shifted her shoulders, uncomfortable.
You breathe a different way. I know.
So you believe me. One crushing weight off her shoulders. Another far more deadly gripped Timul's heart. If she'd been able to convince the elders, if even one had listened, all of the temple could have vanished in a mist of their own making, with no trail for Sozin to follow. Now? Agni, help us.
Prepare for a long ride, she told Gyate. Convince those you can. I have some words to exchange with the lady.
Glancing worriedly between them, Gyate nodded, leapt over and off the balcony railing, and soared away. If you're thinking of pulling some damn fool suicidal last stand, Timul growled, don't. From his start, he knew she'd been thinking exactly that. Those who do not leave will be helpless. They're airbenders. They're not helpless. Timul paused, then drove the knife home. And they don't love you. She was pale around the lips, hand near his own hilt. Those of air are not allowed attachments to this world.
Since when did being allowed stop anyone? Timul said dryly. She's pregnant again, you know.
She went white as milk.
Ha! Got him! Honestly, how could men be so blind to the signs?
Gyate needs you, she. Your daughter needs you, and the little one coming needs you. Keep that sword of yours sheathed. They need the assassin's stealth, not his death.
The black phoenix tail whipped in negation. I swore I would never be the demon again.
Not even to save them? Timul kept her tone calm, no push of fire behind it. A man had a right to his vows. They'll need you, young man, especially after I'm gone. After... She cut himself off, gold eyes cold with calculation. Demon of Taku, centuries of control, and Timul still felt the urge to shiver. Sozin will kill you. Timul shrugged. I know he'll try. He will, one way or another. He cannot afford to let such defiance stand. If you claim it is not disloyal to stand against this war, if your life shows that to be truth... She winced. You will never keep this act a secret. He will know you were here, and he will kill you. All too likely.
But she wasn't dead yet.
Which is why all of you will be leaving my ship before we reach Shujing, Timul said levelly. With luck, friends will take you elsewhere. I don't know where. I refuse to know. She inclined his head, acknowledging that grim wisdom. Why? Spirits, hadn't she asked herself that 1,000 times? Since a desperate boy and his dragon had landed on her ship? Because I'm all there is, Timul said at last. I hate airbenders. I always have. But if I turn my back now, children will die. She lifted burning eyes. Not while I still breathe. My people will not be murderers. Not while I live. Piandao's mansion faded back in, and Sokka gulped for air. It was a phantom. It wasn't real. Though, given what had happened last night, he hadn't tried to go anywhere near that flashing sword of Shi's. If it was half as sharp as the Kyoshi Island blade, it looked like he'd be lying on the floor bleeding to death while he was still trying to figure out what just happened. Sokka shook his head, bumping fists with Toph to assure him they were both still real. What did just happen? If Timul showed us the truth, then people tried to warn the air temples? That can't be right. The problem with airbenders, Timul growled, patting around the protective stance of Katara and Aang, is they don't listen. That's not true, Katara protested. She bit her words off, alarmed. Oh, grow up, the ghost snorted, a weirdly solid sound from mist and flickers of blue flame. I've known what all of you are since the moment you set foot on this island, Avatar. That's right, I'm the Avatar, Aang took a step forward, gray eyes determined. So you're not going to hurt anyone. Piandao, Sokka noticed, had just quietly moved out of the line of fire. Oh, so not good. Timul laughed. So not a nice laugh, Sokka gulped, ice dancing down his spine. More a hungry laugh, as in, spirits, I can't believe he was this dumb and now I get to squash him. You try to command me? You've had poor teachers, Avatar. Timul bent her head just a little, misty gold boring into gray. I am a Fire Nation ghost, little boy, a dragon child, and you are no fire sage. Her smirk glinted with teeth. Spit on a bonfire, you'd have better luck. Sokka started. I know that smirk. He'd seen it before. Lots of times. Just not on an ancient grandmother ghost. That twitch of fingers about to blaze sparks from white knuckles. The way lips pulled back as if the owner was about to sink fangs into your throat. The sense of coiling like an ice viper about to strike. Those glinting pale gold eyes. Stop scaring the boy, Timul, Piandao said firmly. You're not going to hurt him. No. Timul's eyes were half-lidded, a viper gauging the distance to threat or prey. No, not yet. She straightened, the sense of menace easing. Listen to me, Airbender. Do what all your elders could not. Hear me.
No, you listen to me.
Aang stepped almost into that ghost blue flame, glaring back. We didn't do anything to you, and I'm not Kyoshi. Stop blaming me for Sozin's war.
Sozin's war, is it? The smirk flickered back. Tell me, boy, where is your bison now?
Aang went red.
Don't you dare hurt Appa!
Wind picking up, Sokka shielded his face with his hands, backing against Toph in case they needed a quick way out.
Great. Now what can I do?
Hurt him? Agni boy, what do you think I am? Disgust dripped from Timul's voice. Just like all the other temple brats, you never listen.
Strangers have a hard time listening to what we don't say.
Piandao's voice was scarily level, from a guy about a yard from a growing whirlwind.
Aang, calm down. Appa's fine. I have someone I trust on watch to make sure he doesn't stray too close to the village. Timul might frighten him. She has a history with your people, but she'd never hurt him.
You knew who we were, Katara glared at the swordsman.
As the wind died down, you lied to us.
You were wearing a flame in your hair, Pian Dao said dryly. Who lied first?
That's different.
It always is for the water tribes, the swordsman observed. You don't believe any fight against outsiders is fair, not unless you win.
He leaned back.
To a certain extent, I respect that. A swordsman who passes up an advantage on the battlefield is foolish, and usually dead. When you fight to survive, there is no fair.
He gestured around the room.
Try to see what I see. I am the Lord of Shu Jing, the man responsible for protecting these people. And Prince Zuko's letter is rather explicit on the catastrophes that can happen when the Avatar decides to make himself obvious.
A red and black shrug.
What would you do? Tell the whole truth? Or take the chance that by allowing yourself to seem deceived, trouble will pass your people by?
Ouch, Sokka thought. And ouch again for a different reason. You kept the letter with the vendetta?
I wasn't going to use it.
Katara barely glanced away from Piandao.
How can you believe anything Zuko says? He's an exile.
Exile, yes. Traitor, I think not.
Piandao didn't glare back, just met her gaze, patient as the sea.
I know exactly why Prince Zuko was exiled. Do you?
Sparky's not the problem here.
Toph stomped her foot on the floor, cocking her head to the faint echoes.
I want to know what you meant about Appa.
Her finger isn't quite pointing Timul's way, but the ghost didn't seem to mind.
Your beast is currently munching his way through one of Jinsuke's more hidden fields, Timul said dryly. It'll take years to heal that damage.
Piandao sighed.
He'll have recompense from me.
Say that again after you go down and we dig the results, Timul growled. Fertile Charlom smashed down to bricks. Tons that creature weighs. Mark my words, it will be decades before that pasture is fit for anything more than cutting straw.
Piandao winced.
You're worried about Appa walking on the ground? Aang said in disbelief.
Yeah, Sokka said, before Aang could add anything about that being ridiculous.
I think they are. Toph, you said the rocks here are different. What about the dirt?
Cracking her knuckles, Toph led the way outside, stepping off stone into the biggest garden Sokka had seen outside Ba Sing Se. Worked her toes into the grass.
Huh.
Beckoned over her shoulder. Boots off, Twinkle Toes. I think you need to feel this.
Doubtful, Aang stepped onto green.
Eyes closed.
It's earth.
Yeah, but not like back home.
Toph shuffled her feet, rippling grass like a tiny badger mole lurked beneath. There's salt in it, even all the way up here. And it's light, like feathers next to wood. She bent to put a hand on the ground, squeezing and expanding. Oof, doesn't bounce back much, does it?
Not easily, Piandao agreed. I'm no farmer, but I know enough to know why we have roads and ship as much as we can by water.
He eyed Aang.
Before there was a Fire Lord, riding Komodo rhinos across another domain's fields was grounds to start a clan war.
And your damn bison outweighs a dozen Komodo rhinos, and you landed on our grazing every year. Temul was mist and fire and snapping eyes. And every year the same excuses. Oh, they didn't know. Oh, they're only children. Grass grows back. What do firebenders know about Earth? You never listened.
Blue eyes blazed around her.
That and all the damn lies.
We don't lie, Aang shot back.
You don't lie to each other, Temul snarled. You knew damn well you could lie to us, and all your outcasts did.
Outcasts? Aang's eyes were round as melons.
We didn't have outcasts.
So you don't know. Timul's voice seemed to slither in Sokka's ears, scales sliding along his throat.
A master airbender, the Avatar, and your own people didn't think enough of you to tell you the truth.
She stepped into Piandao's shadow, gaining solidity out of the sun.
This truth I know, from over 2 centuries dealing with your kind. Every year your elders decided who could still live among you, and who could not. The liars, the cheaters, the killers. Oh, they were not true air nomads. Or so your elders would say. Before they'd herd away the bison and dump the outcast off the mountain on the rest of us.
Oh, man, Sokka swallowed hard, heart somewhere around his ankles.
Your people were too noble to kill, Temul went on. Too pure. Execute a criminal? Oh, no. You'd only ban them from ever speaking to you again and make them go away. And when they hurt one of us, when they murdered one of us, and we had to kill them?
She clicked her tongue, gold eyes glittering.
Oh, what horrible, violent people firebenders are. How uncivilized. How monstrous.
Lips curled in a snarl.
If Sozin had wanted your elders alone, I would have been the first behind him.
But Sozin was a monster, and you saved people, Aang protested. How can you say killing airbenders was wrong, and then you wanted to kill the elders? I don't understand you.
The first intelligent thing you've said all day, Temul humphed, fading. And you will never understand if you cannot listen.
Aang stared at where she'd been. I thought listening was earthbending.
The way you think of it, I suspect it is. Piandao glanced at his empty shadow. That's the problem for outsiders dealing with great names. Most of our lords grow up speaking high court. In that tongue, there are 2 words that mean listen. There's Znu, which is the listen you are used to, and there's Kansatsusuru.
I'm gonna guess that one isn't, Sokka sighed. So what's that mean to anybody who isn't clipping their nails with rocks?
Piandao lifted a brow at that. Hard to translate. Dragon words generally are.
Dragons don't talk,
Aang said firmly.
And Toph twitched at that.
Sokka narrowed his eyes, remembering what she'd told his dad on a beach weeks ago. Zuko had told her things about his loyalties, about the Fire Nation. What else had he told her?
Not to you, Piandao agreed. To us, they had ways.
Kansatsusuru. The best word, I think, would be watch closely. Stop talking and look at what's going on. See and feel the movement around you. Where it is, where it was, where it's going. He smiled ruefully. I can imagine generations of firebenders pointing at the ground and yelling at nomads to listen. What a mess. Watch the fire, Sokka said, half to himself. See what it does. God, no wonder we can't talk to you guys. There aren't that many in the Fire Nation who would believe the Avatar came to talk. Piandao glanced over them all, face sober. Not to them, and certainly not to Fire Lord Ozai. But I do, Aang insisted. I don't want to fight anybody. There's got to be a better way. The war's got to stop. If the Fire Lord makes you fight and I stop him... He shook all over like Appa shedding water. Why did you let her say things like that? Why did she show us stuff that didn't happen? Piandao's look reminded Sokka of Paku about to lecture on the minuscule chance of his current student beating a sea slug. That was a phantom of the past, Aang. It did happen. You saw what she saw.
Then she didn't know what she saw, Katara said firmly. Grand-Grand told us about airbenders. If someone had warned them before the Fire Nation attacked, they would have... Well, they would have done something. She crossed her arms. Besides, demon of Taku, why would an air nun hide someone like that?
She shuddered.
General Iroh's just called a dragon, and he broke into Ba Sing Se. How do you even get a name like that?
By killing the Fire Lord's enemies, Piandao answered. Suddenly, violently, and without a trace. That's what Onmitsu do. The look he turned on Katara was oddly sad. You might be surprised to know what names you have in the army's formal reports. That blast at the Northern Air Temple was impressively deadly. Sokka winced. Katara paled.
We had to, Aang said, shaken. They were going to kill the people in the temple.
Yes, they were. You had every right. Piandao looked reflective. She thought he was in the right, at Taku. It was what he'd been trained for from birth. Yet, he was one of the first to realize what Sozin really was. So he vanished, rather than be ordered to kill again.
I don't buy it. Katara's eyes narrowed. If he was such a great assassin, why not just kill Sozin? He could have stopped the war right there.
She nodded towards Toph.
If it was real, she would have told us.
I don't know, the earthbender admitted. I saw it, like the Painted Lady. I couldn't feel it. I don't know who's telling the truth. All I know is there's salt in the soil all the way up here.
So maybe she was telling the truth about Avatar Kyoshi. That doesn't mean she was about anything else.
She shot a dark look at Piandao.
I don't know how the Fire Nation got to the temples, but it must have been something nobody saw coming. If Timul did warn them, she should have tried harder.
Piandao, Sokka noted, really looked like he had a headache. Oh, she did warn them.
You weren't there.
I didn't have to be. The swordsman cut Katara off. Sozin's Agni Kai is recorded in our history, along with Tamul's so-called treachery. But there's one thing that isn't recorded, that you didn't see last night, or here and now. Timul knew exactly who was going to be helping the survivors from your temples, and she took that to her grave to save them. He turned a cool look on Aang. I've heard you knew him. His name was Kuzan of Byakko. Katara started to say something, stopped, swallowed. Phantoms chill your soul even if you don't feel it, Piandao said plainly. You should be safe to rest here. Silent as shadow, he stepped back inside the mansion.
I guess he's okay, Aang said brightly. Kind of weird, but Sokka, where are you going?
To apologize, Sokka headed for the back door.
Why?
Sokka stopped, sighed, and wondered why parts of his life just refused to make sense anymore. Maybe you don't believe Tamul, but Piandao does, and he helped us. The swordsman wasn't hard to find. Sokka entered one of the better lit rooms, to the subtle scent of ink and the shush of a sleeve as Piandao painted. Lump in his throat, he knelt. Is there something you need? More like, I have something to say? And even this was weird. You didn't kneel on ice. Not if you liked your knees. People are complicated. The brush moved on. Slow, steady motion. So they are. Aang likes things simple. I see. He's kind of under a lot of pressure, Sokka said wryly. Save the world, stop a war, try not to get killed. Everyone has to save their own world. A pause as the brush dipped in ink. Some of us succeed more than others. There's just one world, Sokka almost said. Aang's problems are kind of bigger than ours. But he didn't. If Tamul was mad because Aang wasn't paying attention, well, he was no avatar, but he could at least try to figure out a lady who died rather than let Sozin. Oh. Tamul didn't hate airbenders, Sokka said, working it out. She was mad at them. She wanted them to leave her people alone, but she didn't hate them. Like Zuko doesn't hate my sister. Tamul looked like he did. Steamy breath, snapping sparks, the works. That's the world she wanted to save. Someplace where maybe you didn't like the guys on the next mountain over, but you weren't trying to kill them. Another deliberate stroke of black ink across paper. Did she succeed? Sokka thought about it. No, but she kind of didn't lose either. The brush stopped. Go on. Oh boy. Sokka's mouth was dry. He tried not to gulp too loudly. She died, and she's stuck here as a ghost. Grand-Gran always said that was a bad thing, but she died doing what she wanted, and people remember her. As long as somebody remembers there's a right thing to do, then it's not hopeless, no matter what. Very true. Piandao rinsed his brush in water. Kuzan might have given up a long time ago if it hadn't been for Tamul. He was Lord of Byakko at 15. His nation had erupted in war against the world, and most of his family was dead. All he had was his betrothed, his dragon, and a very prickly ghost. A slight glance toward him. She'll talk about him on stormy nights. She's cursed him for letting the Onmitsu get the drop on him so young, but I've never once heard her wish she hadn't listened to him. Listen to... Sokka's jaw dropped. He got her to warn the Western Temple? He didn't have time to stop, Piandao nodded. Not if he hoped to get to the Southern Air Temple before the comet. So he found the closest ally he could. Gray eyes weighed on him. So you believe she did warn them? Sokka chewed on that. When Aang took us to the temple, he said there was no way anybody could get up there without a sky bison. But the firebenders did. If the nuns thought that too, Aang's kind of good at ignoring things he doesn't want to hear. He thought a little harder. Yeah, I think I do. It fits, you know. Katara, well, she thinks Aang's great, so all the airbenders had to be. But Aang keeps saying they didn't have evil people. They just didn't. And that's... people aren't like that. Not real people. Oh man. And if that's what they did, throw people out who lied so you had to deal with them. Aang pulled something like that on Zuko. He went ballistic. The Avatar. Piandao clapped a hand on his forehead. That letter makes so much more sense. Sokka rolled his eyes. Yeah, well, it'd probably be crystal clear if you ever met the jerkbender.
Oh, I have.
Sokka tried for a grin. Really?
He was a 6-year-old brat who couldn't swim, but tried anyway, Piandao recalled.
I always thought Azula dared him into the river, but Ursa wouldn't hear it. I had to pound the breath back into him. If Timul hadn't told me where he was, we'd have been short one young prince.
You taught him how to swim? Sokka said, incredulous. Do you have any idea what he did?
No. Piandao looked intrigued. What?
He followed turtle seals into the North Pole and... Maybe he shouldn't mention the whole spirit oasis thing for the fish's sake. After all, not too many people knew there were special koi fish up there. Zuko and Iroh weren't talking, and Zhao was kind of gone. Zhao. Gone or not, he still hated the firebender. Admiral Zhao had gotten to the oasis, and the moon, before they could all get back from Zuko's little detour. If Zuko hadn't shown up, Aang would have been there. If Zuko hadn't shown up, Iroh wouldn't have been there. Yue wouldn't have known she could save the moon. The Northern Water Tribe would have been destroyed. And without water bending, how could Aang ever be the Avatar? No, think hard. It's worse than that. If Zuko hadn't pulled his climb through the ice stunt, Aang would have been there, meditating, with his spirit somewhere else. Katara said his eyes were glowing. He was in the Avatar state, and Zhao already knew he couldn't hang on to Aang. You knew, Zhao, bigger temper than his sideburns. If he'd found Aang helpless, he would have... Sokka buried his face in his hands. It didn't happen. Aang's alive. You've got to make sure he stays that way.
Sokka?
Piandao had risen from his writing table, brows drawn down in concern. Sokka shook his head. I think Zuko screwed up and saved the world. Piandao laughed. Laughing's good. I can still save something here. I don't know if I can say I'm sorry for my friends, Sokka said. I'm not even sure if it means the same thing in the Fire Nation. Zuko didn't seem to think it did. Not when Aang... Think? If listen means watch carefully... Damn. Of course he didn't, Sokka said. Aang says he's sorry and then goes and does what he's going to do anyway.
And would that be accepted in the Water Tribes? Piandao asked.
It stung, but it didn't sound sarcastic. Sokka hoped.
Not for long. We're all stuck together in igloos for the worst part of the winter. There's nowhere to get away from people seeing you're not doing what you said.
He cut himself off. Islands? Ships? You can't get away either.
Not the way nomads could.
The swordsman agreed.
And all we do now is travel, Sokka groaned. A month in Ba Sing Se drove him nuts. A day in our village and he was out tripping over booby traps in forbidden ships. Aang is never going to sit still long enough to get you guys.
Piandao nodded.
That sounds like a problem.
And I'm supposed to be the idea guy. Sokka knuckled his head, hoping to jar loose a plan.
Idea guy? Piandao arched a brow.
Katara's the last waterbender of our tribe. Toph's the greatest earthbender in the world. Aang, he's the Avatar.
Sokka shrugged. I come up with ideas. Sometimes they work.
Outside of that, I've got Boomerang. Touching the weapon behind his back, finally jarred something loose.
Wait, drowning.
Zuko, you're the guy who uses chi to fight!
Piandao leaned back a little, head raised in a skeptical tilt. Who told you that?
Zuko, Sokka admitted. He said I should... never mind. We already screwed up. I should get everybody out of here before Aang tells Timul she didn't see what she did.
Darn it. He had to ask. Is General Iroh right? Did waterbenders really use swords once? The art of the sword belongs to no one... The art of the sword belongs to no one nation, Piandao stated. That said, yes, the Kyoshi warriors favor the katana, but the longsword is still taught on Kyoshi Island. Timul learned from them long ago. She's been one of my teachers over the years.
She taught us about ground fires when that meteor came down, Sokka recalled.
Do you think maybe... No, she doesn't want anything to do with Aang.
You're not Aang.
Piandao gave him a speculative look.
Swordsmanship requires Kansatsuru, and you do need that. But Chi, that requires a living teacher.
He waved towards Boomerang.
Show me.